On this episode, Michelle Creer, Senior Vice President at ClearEdge, takes the mic in our Women in Staffing series to interview Jocelyn Lincoln, Vice President of the Talent Supply Chain Center of Excellence at Kelly Services. Jocelyn shares key takeaways such as how organizations can use predictive analytics to inform their talent strategy, how organizations can actually execute on their core messaging at every level, and trends Jocelyn is seeing in recruitment and talent acquisition today. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Michelle Creer, Senior Vice President at ClearEdge Marketing. Joining me today on The Edge is Jocelyn Lincoln, Vice President of the Talent Supply Chain Center of Excellence at Kelly Services. Thanks for joining me today, Jocelyn.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you today, as I'm really curious to learn more about your new role at Kelly. Tell me and our listeners about the Talent Supply Chain Center of Excellence and what that entails.
Sure. So our global supply chain, we're really focused on the whole idea of talent being the epicenter of everything that revolves around business strategy. So what we have identified is that when an organization is developing its business strategies, there always is a corresponding implication related to resourcing. And what we look at is really there are three types of specific decisions that a company has to make around their talent resourcing plans. One being, what are the skills and the expertise that they're going to need to hire? And usually that's around their permanent workforce, and we'll refer to that as their buy strategy. So how are they going to bring talent into the organization? The second being, what are the internal capabilities they need to train and ultimately develop that are resident within their organization? So we really refer to that as their build strategy. And then the third component is, what are the skills and expertise that they need to borrow? And when we talk about borrowing, we're typically referring to more of their contingent workforce strategy, because typically your contingent workforce is going to supplement more of your permanent or more direct hiring needs. So when we think about those three things collectively, a buy, a build, a borrow strategy, that is what represents an organization's talent supply chain. And we look at supply chain in the same way that organizations look at supply chain in other parts of their company, typically driven through a procurement process itself. Every organization in the world has a talent supply chain. The main differences are usually around what the size of their supply chain looks like, the maturity, and even the complexity. So our COE at Kelly, our Centers of Excellence, are really focused around helping our clients uncover and discover what they need to do to make sure that they have access to the right skills at the right time, and also at a price that represents the absolute best value for their money. So we're very focused on making sure we're helping them with their resourcing plans, making sure that they're understanding labor market dynamics, making sure that they understand what parts of their organization from a talent perspective are driving and represent the best ROI from a talent input perspective also, but not just the lowest cost. So what's the lowest cost I can get talent into the organization, but really best ROI. We also help our customers identify what's the best sourcing strategy they should have in place as it relates to supply of talent. So in high demand, low supply markets, what are the best ways that they can bring that talent into their organization? We help them understand processes and systems around governance and how the infrastructure that's required to bring that talent into place. And then lastly, it's all driven and set on a whole idea of having business analytics in place. I think the whole category of talent analytics and how we use data to drive insights and get to a state where we're able to be much more predictive around what's going to happen in the labor market is truly emerging. So when we think about talent supply chain management, that's really Kelly's approach. And as a result of that, we are structured in such a way that we've built some really distinct practice areas within our own COE.
That's fantastic. And it's so interesting to think about how Kelly has grown and evolved over the years, you know, starting with the old Kelly girl way back in the day to where you're at now in this supply chain center of excellence. And if you wouldn't mind, Jocelyn, I think that last point that you were talking about with regards to analytics and data is something obviously that is top of mind for a lot of organizations right now. How are you starting to integrate that into the supply chain and talking with clients about how important that data and that predictive modeling and predictive analytics really is to their talent needs?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one of the areas that I'm actually specifically focused on. But I will tell you that we have created our own talent supply chain portal. We are able to aggregate not only our own proprietary data, but in programs where perhaps we're part of an MSP or vendor neutral environment, we're able to look at overall supplier data. We have information coming in via Fieldglass, for example, where we're able to holistically look at some of the dynamics associated with talent demographics, attrition, tenure within an organization, productivity, requisition demand, supply, what things are looking like from an overall tenure and turnover perspective, and helping our clients get to a state where they're able to use the data in a way that informs some of their workforce planning. So able to look at not only their full-time hiring data, but also their contingent or their temporary employee labor data, and then look at that much at a macro or holistic level where they're able to start saying, okay, here's some things that we're seeing as trends. Our clients are really looking to us to help them understand and not just have information, but how are you taking that data and changing it into insights that ultimately influence my whole sourcing strategy? I think that's the key, is how do I take all of this information and use it in a way that influences my sourcing strategy? So to your point, a lot of the work that we're doing, some organizations are, I would call it a whole maturity model, where some are, you know, already operating at it. They have fully integrated workforce analytics. They have teams of people. They have data scientists that are taking social data and workforce data and supply demand data and putting it all together and really coming out with a compelling story. And then we see all the way at the other end of the spectrum of organizations that are looking to get started. And I think the first key is to make sure that you understand the questions that you're actually trying to answer. Because what is it you want that data to tell you? It's not just looking at the information for the sake of looking at it, but what business question am I trying to answer? Am I trying to answer, where do I expect to see the highest population within my workforce of people retiring, and what should my strategy be to supplement and bring in pipeline and bring in the next level talent? Those are the types of things that I think an organization has to make sure that they have rooted themselves in. What business problem are we trying to solve? And then you let the data help you tell that story.
It really is about helping HR leaders and others in the organization become more proactive when it comes to looking at their talent needs versus reactive, for sure. How do you think that organizations can do a better job when it comes to attracting and recruiting talent? You know, talking about maybe data and analytics is one of those ways that they can have a little bit more of a futuristic or forward-looking view. What are some other things that you think organizations could and should be doing?
Yeah, I see it in a couple of distinct areas. The first is, I think every organization has to get really in touch with what their culture is. And I think not just talking about aspirationally what we want our culture to be, but the reality of what your culture is today, and being able to, from that, drive what we would consider your employee value proposition. So when I think about your organization, you know, why would I want to be a part of your organization? You know, what are the things that you're doing that either contribute to, you know, wellness factor, or the type of work you do, or the type of products and services, or how you compete in a marketplace? place, but being very succinct and specific around what is it that is great about working for your organization. So that whole idea of building, making sure you understand your culture, that you can clearly articulate your culture, but most importantly, that when I start to have an interaction with your organization, I see evidence of what it is you're saying. So, you know, it's one thing for me to be in the marketplace saying, you know, we deliver world-class customer service, or we have the best candidate experience. But if I then start to engage with your organization and I see no evidence of that, then it starts to become very much a falsehood. So I think for organizations, as they look at recruiting and talent acquisition, one, getting in touch with their culture, two, making sure that they can clearly articulate it and define it, three, making sure that there's evidence of it within their whole talent acquisition process, that the candidate experience, what that person going through the interview process, the sourcing screening process, the onboarding process, their first day, that it's also yet again reinforcing what we're seeing as our culture.
And I think that's an area, at least from my perspective, where I've seen a lot of organizations struggle, is that while they've identified their culture and their employee value proposition, and HR can talk about it and the recruiters can talk about it, you come down to a hiring manager who maybe isn't as closely aligned to HR or doesn't necessarily either maybe have the same amount of training or whatever it is, but there is that breakdown in really demonstrating that culture all the way up through then, you know, through day one. So how can organizations bridge that gap between the people who really are invested in understanding that culture and that value proposition, and making sure that everybody who interacts and engages with the candidate throughout that process is singing from the same songbook, so to speak?
Yeah, I think the companies that I see do this phenomenally well are the companies that have taken and lifted what they have either as their mission statement or their employee credo or whatever it may be, and they really start to embody it and it becomes part of their whole business process. And what I mean by that, if I have a performance management system, my performance management system should be linked back to those value drivers that we're talking about in our employee value proposition. So if I'm saying that customer service is number one, candidate experience is of utmost importance, I should see that in our performance management system. I should see that in our training development systems. I should see that in leadership development. I should see that in incentive and compensation. I should see that in all of our reward mechanisms that exist within the organization. It should be top of mind when we're having employee town halls. We should see measurements and KPIs and metrics associated with how we're performing against those things. If it's only something that lives on a poster and it's nice and pretty and we can say, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's our mission, those are our values, that's what we hold, you know, hold near and dear to our hearts, but it's not ingrained, it doesn't become part of our DNA. And we all know that we rise to the occasion of what we're being measured against. So I think the performance management aspect of it cannot be overlooked. And the companies that do it well make sure that it's integrated on all fronts.
Absolutely. So I want to switch gears here a little bit, Jocelyn, and talk about you and specifically your background. So you've been with Kelly for a good portion of your career.
Yes.
If I recall correctly, you'd started out in marketing and you've moved into roles throughout your tenure that are more recruiting operations focused. So I actually have two questions for you. First, what is it about Kelly and the culture that keeps you there?
Yeah, I would say it's really interesting. So I've been with Kelly 18 years, and I think first and foremost, the thing about Kelly's culture is, and you said it earlier, we are the Kelly Girl Company. We have evolved from that, obviously, but I think what's most interesting about that is that we are innovators and we pioneer the whole staffing industry itself. So when I think about William Russell Kelly and what he essentially did of taking an idea and starting to really create an entire industry focused around the temporary or contingent workforce, I think is phenomenal. And one of the things that still exists within the organization is it does have a pioneering spirit. There is a can-do attitude. There is, at the heart of everything that Kelly does, there's this deep sense of doing the right thing, be it the right thing for our clients or the right thing for our candidates, our employees, our talent. And I think that's what motivates me. I'm also very, very rooted in what it is that we do, and we put people to work. We connect talent to the world of work. And that is, to me, that's about connecting head and heart, heart and mind, because when I think about the difference of what having employment and viable work opportunities and career opportunities and the impact that makes on not only an individual, but on the communities in which they live, the way in which they see themselves. You know, I'm always just blown away at that fact of the lives that we actually touch. So for me, part of what has always kept me at Kelly is the connection to what it is we actually do. Now, there may be complexities around the type of solutions and the way in which our clients want to engage and the way in which our industry itself continues to evolve. But at the core of it, it's about connecting people to phenomenal opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And clearly you have a lot of passion around that. I can hear that come through in your voice when you're giving these answers.
I do.
My follow-up question is really about, again, your background starting out in marketing. And I think it's on your LinkedIn profile, actually, where it says that you operate at the intersection of marketing and recruiting. Mm-hmm. So how did your background in marketing, both from an educational standpoint and from your early career experiences, help you transition into more of these recruiting-faced and operations-faced roles?
Yeah, so what's really interesting, so I started my career in more marketing management, marketing communication type of roles, really within the banking industry. I did some work with utilities as well. And then I started transitioning into what we would consider product management. And what marketing always taught me, one of the reasons I was always so attracted to this field of study, is the whole idea of creating a product that doesn't exist and then having people become so enamored with your product or service that they can't imagine their lives without it. And that is, in essence, what marketing is. It's about, you know, the whole idea of product development, but it's also about making sure that within your product that you are selling features, you're selling value, you're selling a lifestyle at times, you're selling convenience, you might be selling a bunch of different things, but you're bringing that product to life. And you can start to think about many different product introductions that have happened, you know, even in the past 5 to 10 years, of things that we didn't even know we needed them. Like, I didn't know I needed Netflix. Now I need it. You know, I didn't know I needed Amazon Prime to have delivered to me within a day, but now I can't live without it. And we all know we can't live without our iPhones or our smartphones or what have you. So marketing has always fascinated me from that standpoint. And when I started thinking about the staffing industry, when I got involved and started working at Kelly, it was always very clear to me that recruiting is essentially marketing. You have an opportunity. And you have a person that needs an opportunity, and it's about how do you start to bridge that connection between the two. So I always looked at a recruiting challenge as a marketing challenge. So I would go through a diagnostic of, okay, from a recruiting perspective, who's our target audience? What is it about this opportunity that would be most appealing to them? Who is the person that's going to be able to be in this position or this job and actually thrive in this job? Where can we find that person? What are the type of messages that appeal to them? What type of media do they engage in? What type of books do they read? So really approaching that whole candidate piece through the lens of marketing has really been what's helped me over the years. And so when I talk about operating at that intersection, that's exactly what I mean, is that looking at a recruiting challenge, which if you think about recruiting, it's about finding the right person for the right role at the right cost and delivering high quality, and absolute hiring manager delight. That's what a marketing challenge truly is. It's about taking your service, finding the right person that this service fits, and making sure that there's a connection.
Absolutely. In both ways, right? Both for the company and for the candidate.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. How have you seen the role of recruiting and recruiters change during your tenure with Kelly?
Wow. A lot of change. There's so many things that have changed, and at the same time, there's so many things that have stayed the same. So I'll talk to you about the things that I know that have changed. When I first started in recruiting, you know, I had recruiters that told me they couldn't live without, you know, things like Yellow Pages or, you know, newspaper ads or, you know, flyers and all these things that when you think about them now, you can't even imagine people trying to recruit that way. But one of the things that I have seen is just the impact of technology. So this whole idea of digital disruption, I mean, it's really, really fascinating. So you have such a huge expectation from a candidate perspective around immediacy and transparency that didn't exist when I first started in recruiting. There is such an expectation that I understand where I am in the process. I understand who else is being considered. I understand all the steps along the process and that there's a lot of transparency that happens. I also have an expectation of speed. The whole idea that you can leave someone a message and then get back to them a few days later, you know, with texting and all of the social media pieces and the technology that exists today, I think that has completely changed the way in which recruiting is delivered and the expectations on recruiters to stay on top of all of that in terms of how they reach out to candidates, how they engage with candidates, everything from video interviewing to matching tools and technology to automation and, you know, onboarding, screening tools, gamification of all of those, et cetera. But what I've seen that stays the same is that recruiting, you strip away all of that, it's in human interaction. It's a human interaction in that a recruiter is making a connection with a candidate, and they're uncovering things about the candidate that would get them to either want to take a role or understanding what's important to them as they think about their next opportunity. It's a relationship-based activity. It's a human touch-based activity. There's something about a conversation. There's something about sitting across from someone and seeing in their eyes how important an opportunity or career moment is to them that maybe doesn't automatically lift off the page, that can't be matched via a bot or AI or any type of machine learning. I think all of those things drive efficiency and they ensure that we stay current and relevant and we add speed. But I do think that there's a deep human connection that exists in recruiting that has remained unchanged and will continue to remain unchanged.
I agree. I was at a conference not too long ago, and there was a session that I attended on technology. And of course, one of the questions posed to the person leading the session was, do you ever envision the role of recruiters going away altogether? And the gentleman said, no, I don't. Because to your point, Jocelyn, it's all about that connection and that human interaction. And the tools and technologies are great, and they do help with efficiency and touch points and things like that. But at the end of the day, you're talking with somebody. And you're really getting to know, from a cultural perspective, is it the right fit? From a professional development perspective and long-term, you know, career goals and things like that, is this the right fit? And I don't think there's any tools or technologies, at least that I can conceive of right now, that would replace that interaction between a recruiter and a candidate.
Yes, I completely agree.
So that brings me to my last question then. What trends are you seeing when it comes to recruiting and talent acquisition?
We're just continuing to see the things that we've talked about. So the whole digital disruption, this idea of, you know, AI, machine learning, bots, like what's going to happen with all of that, an expectation of a lot of speed in the process, efficiency, but also high touch. I think is another trend. I think we're also seeing a greater emphasis being placed on companies to make sure that they have a great employer brand. I remember when I first started in recruiting, you didn't hear a lot about brandings, particularly from a recruitment perspective. We talked about company brands and product brands, but not really the notion of employer brand. And I think we're going to continue to see that evolve, particularly when you think about this whole idea of what the labor supply looks like. You know, when you start to talk about some of the technical categories of engineering, scientists, IT professionals, all of those technical areas that we know the skills are in high demand, there simply aren't enough people, it's going to all be about differentiation. So what are the things that companies are going to differentiate on, and how are they going to position themselves with the talent marketplace? So I think you'll see more trends in that. I think we're going to start seeing much more leverage around the analytics piece. So using analytics to get to a point, as you stated, about not being so reactive, but being much more proactive and predicting. So being able to look at all the people that we've hired into the organization and those that have stayed and those that have been promoted and the type of movement that they've had in the organization and how that starts to inform your overall recruiting and sourcing strategy, I think we'll see more of that. We're already starting to see like that next generation of talent acquisition and what that looks like within organizations. And again, it's a lot of data. There's an expectation of a lot of information around talent analytics. The whole retention piece will start to continue to come into play. But how do you start to link all of these systems and platforms and making sure that you're effectively leveraging all of the information and the data points that come out of that to really drive toward ultimately your business goal and people being at the center of your business strategy?
Great insights for sure. And I think it's fascinating to continue to watch the industry evolve and grow. And I can, again, I know I said this before, clearly hear the passion in your voice for this. So I wanted to thank you for your time today and for participating. Jocelyn, if someone wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way they can do that?
I would say the best way to get in touch with me, so I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jocelyn Lincoln. You can get in touch with me via LinkedIn. I invite everyone to, you know, make a connection with me, and we can start, you know, some dialogue. So usually those are probably the two best ways to reach me.
Perfect. Well, thank you again for your time, Jocelyn. Thank you for all you do for the staffing and recruiting industry, and I'm sure I will see you at an upcoming conference real soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum@clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.